The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Good morning. Thank you, Trudy and the She Word. This is such an honor. I feel very, very honored and privileged to be here today. I thought a lot about what I wanted to say today, and would you believe it or not, I wrote about 5 pages and they've all gone poof. Because what I want to share is my story. I don't need to write it. I don't need to remember it because it's inside of me. To be able to tell you why I'm standing on this stage right now and perhaps why Trudy asked me to speak to you today, I need to go a little bit back. Am I going to tell you my whole life story? No. But I'll tell you the juicy, tough, rough bits. So I was always a very quiet girl, very shy, very timid, along the sidelines, I felt like I was never seen, and I always wanted to be heard. That girl, she's looking at me right now going, I told you so. She's spinning in her Wonder Woman bathing suit that I loved so much, and she's repeating, I told you so. But little did she know what I had to go through to be able to feel like I do today. And that feeling is something that I am eternally grateful for. So let me go back, and I'll tell you a little bit about how I grew up, where I grew up, and my sort of life. So I was born in Canada, I was born in Toronto, grew up there, had parents who emigrated from Gozo to Canada. They were very traditional. They encouraged me to have like safe education. And I grew up, my formal education is in the sciences, but I am a creative. I am very, very deeply creative. And I loved creativity, always. But at the time, it wasn't encouraged. You know, you had to do something safe, like, you know, medicine or teaching or law, you know, something that was tangible. So I went to school. My education was based in sciences. Got out of school. I really didn't like what I was doing. I met my husband, and he saw that I was very creative. And it was the time of the boom of websites. And he said, you know what? Jokingly, he said, we should do a website course, a web design course. And I was like, design? Yes, let's do it. And I ran with it, so much so that we moved on from our full-time jobs onto going and opening our own web design agency, which eventually turned into a branding agency. So we had our own office. We had started to get things rolling. We had a client base. It was fantastic. Everything was going to plan until it wasn't. Still going to plan, and we decided to get married. It was great. I was checking things off my checklist, you know, like, okay, husband, work, career. And I remember my husband saying to me, you know, this is great. He said, because eventually, since we have our own business and we're flexible, you'll be able to sort of have this flexibility to be able to take care of our future children. Fantastic. This, like, what more could I ask for? So we got married in 2011, again, off my checklist. And soon after, a year later, I got pregnant, and I was thrilled, obviously. Checklist, again. Everything was going great, or so I thought. My 20-week scan, I lied there, and she rolled that wand over my jelly-filled belly. And there's this deafening silence, you know, you feel this tension. So she tried to be calm, but I could sense her hesitation. And this was something that, unfortunately, I became accustomed to. And she looked at me and she said, there's a problem with your baby. And my world just sank. And I said, okay, well, you know, what is it? And I got thrown into this world of scan after scan after scan. And there were never any results. Nothing ever resulted in any of these scans, except for the fact that he had, my baby had, swollen kidneys. And apparently this was something common. And they said to me, you know, this is actually something that might resolve once a baby is born. And I said, okay, great. So that was like a glimmer of hope. I said, fine, it's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. My son was born in 2013. Cesarean, because they knew that there was a problem, they didn't know exactly what it was. So there was a whole team ready for this child. And I remember we had the discussion. I discussed with my husband. I said, okay, if something happens and they need to take away the baby, because obviously they were telling us what may or may not happen, I said, you go with the baby. And as soon as it was like this Lion King moment, you know, they go, whoop, and they run away. And I was like, and I looked at my husband and I go, you know, just with our eyes, I was like, okay, I'm going. But at that moment, you know, if you're familiar with cesarean section, it's really, really not nice. They actually like restrain you and they hold you down. And I actually remember trying to get out of the restraints because they had just extracted this tiny human from my body and they took him away. And so I felt like this uncontrollable need to want to leave. Then I started hearing the clanking of the tools in the kidney dish, and I realized, you know what, maybe it's not a good idea because they're like putting back my insides, so maybe I should stay put. But this was all going around in my head, and before I know it, I woke up and my husband's standing next to me, and he said, prune syndrome, belly, and spitting out all these words. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, our son has something called prune belly syndrome. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I will tell you right now, what's the first thing you think I did? Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. And I implore you, when something, you are questioning something like this, do not Google. Just don't. I Googled it. And it was the worst thing I could have done because I still hadn't seen my baby, except for that split second. So, cesarean, I crawled, I made my way to that MPICU because my baby was being in the intensive care unit. He spent 6 weeks there, with every other day we were being told that he wouldn't make it for the next day. So, you know, they'd take us into this horrible room that I became accustomed to, saying, we don't know if he's gonna make it. We don't know if he's going to make it. We don't know if he's going to make it. 6 weeks later, they discharged him. It was okay. He made it. He got through. I took this baby home, and I was like, they don't know what they're talking about. You're fine. This is all going to go away. They have no idea. He's 11, and he's had 15 surgeries. So it did go away, sort of. But he has his whole life with these issues. It doesn't end there. If I could only go back and tell that little girl in the Wonder Woman costume how downhill really meant. So naturally, they had to check on and off blood tests on this little baby to make sure that he was stable and everything was fine. And they were very regular at first. And after, I don't know, he was about 10 months old, and we got the best news, and the doctor said, you know what, instead of coming every week, let's extend it to 2 weeks. And oh my God, this news was the best thing ever. I went home, and I was so excited. I was like, you know what, okay, things are getting back on track. I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna write some emails, maybe get some clients, get our life back, starting to get together, get things in order again. And I remember clear as day, he's sitting on my lap, typing away. If you're a mom, you understand the balance of like trying to manage all of that. And I felt an itch, and I did this, and I went cold. I picked up the phone, I called my sister, she's a doctor, and I said, Chris, I feel a lump in my breast. And she said, don't know, it's like probably like milk or, you know, like a collection. There's like the ducts and, you know, and she's like, but you know what, let's just do an ultrasound to be safe, you know, just to be safe. And I said to my husband said to me, he said, do you want me to come with you? And I said, don't bring the baby again to the hospital. You know, this is like really unnecessary. So I went, got in the car, drove to the hospital, lied on the bed, and this magic wand, the jelly on my boob, and, you know, rolling around. And I see that face again. See that horrible face. She leaves the room, and the woman in the suit comes in, and I'm like, oh, shit. Great. This is not good. And she looks at me dead in the face, and she says, look, I don't like what I see. She goes, we need to do a biopsy. She goes, you can either do it now, or you can come back. What would you have done? Think about it. Think of what you would have done. And I looked at her, and I said, do it now. Do it now. And I, at that moment, felt that I activated some next level power inside me. Like, there's no turning back now. I ended up having breast cancer. The same year, my son had to go through several surgeries, two of which were life-threatening. Me going to chemo, radiotherapy, and all my appointments, and him in and out of the hospital. We struggled a lot, and we fought every day. But there was something so empowering about that, taking control and getting past that fear. Little did I know that that fear and that control had to come back time and time again, not for me, but for my son. Every surgery and everything that went wrong and the times I'd hold on to his bedside hearing horrible news from his doctors, like the time he had an epidural and he didn't move his leg and they told me he could have been paralyzed, the time where his kidney was infected and they had to extract it, the time they told me he had to go and have a kidney transplant, and after there was like literally thrown in like a scene of Grey's Anatomy. That's like stuff you don't even want to dream about, let alone live. But that unlocking of that, it literally next level. And I feared nothing else after that. I knew I had to. I had no choice. And it was the fear, and it was feeling that fear and embracing that fear that empowered me. When I started to share my story, I realized how much it empowered others who were going through horrible and difficult times. And that's why I always love sharing my story, because if I can help one person get past that fear, feel the fear and do it anyway, it's cliche, but it helps you move on and get past. And as difficult and as hard as those days were, I'm grateful for those dark experiences because they have made me the person I am today. And today, what I want to do is give you the power, because you all have it inside, to have. You have the tools to empower yourself. Don't wait for stuff to hit the fan. It's there. You have it in you. Reach in and feel better. Not like when you're sick, but feel your feels, all of them. Feel them better. And you will start to be on the way to unlock your own empowerment.